Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to another episode of the Bulky Blue podcast. And today is, it's a very good day to be a Chelsea fan. I told you in the last one that I weren't just going to be pumping out random podcasts for the same bullshit transfer stories over and over and over again. Since I last posted a podcast, we have got rid of Lukaku on loan, granted, but got rid of him. We have had a bid accepted by Leeds for Rafinha, but he hasn't come. He's gone to Barcelona. His dream was always Barcelona, and he was, to be fair to him, he was open with that from the get-go. However, we have had a new signing come through the door. We've got another one on the way, who I will be talking about afterwards. But, ladies and gentlemen, we have signed and announced officially the signing of Raheem Sterling from Manchester City for, I think, £47.5 million, no add-ons. First thing, before I get into the stats, I've got his profile here. Obviously, his name is Raheem Sterling. He's 27 years old. Born on the 8th of December 1994. He was born in Kingston, Jamaica. However, he was raised in London after 5 years old. He is 5'7" tall. And another worthy note is, a very worthy note actually, is he's, he was awarded an MBE, which is a royal thing. Member of the British Empire, I think it stands for. And he got awarded it for services to racial equality in sport. And given the shit he's been through personally, including from some idiotic Chelsea fans, which I'm glad he doesn't hold it against the entire club. Obviously, I'm not going to delve into that side of things because I want to stay positive on this one, because we have, like, Sterling signing for Chelsea's huge. I've got his career stats for Liverpool, where he broke on the scene, for Manchester City, and for England, and then total. So I've got appearances, goals, assists, minutes played, bookings, and then his goal contribution rate, and his average minutes played per appearance as well. I've really done like research on this one because I was curious to know, like, because everyone sits there and I don't want to, again, I don't want to make this a defending Timo podcast, but I was wondering, like, is he actually better than Timo Werner, like, productivity-wise? And obviously, the numbers will suggest that he is, overall. And you know what? Fair play to the guy. He is a quality player. At the start of the window, he wasn't even on my mind as someone we would have signed. But, yeah, as I said, like, signing him now, $47 million. It's like, wow, it's quality. So we'll start with his Liverpool career. He spent four seasons there, from 2011-12 season to the 2014-15 season. He made 129 appearances, scored, made 129 appearances, 9,294 minutes, which is on average 72 minutes per appearance. He scored 23 goals and got 25 assists and 14 yellow cards, and that gives him a goal or assist every 193.6 minutes, which at the rate he played, like the minutes he played per appearance, was roughly 1 in 3. 72 minutes per appearance times that by 3, that's 216 minutes, and he got a goal or assist every 193 minutes. So goal or assist every 193 minutes. So that was for what, he was 17, I think. He was born in 94. Yeah, he was 17, 18 when he broke on the scene at Liverpool. No, he was younger than that. He would have been, yeah, he would have been younger than that. He was 16, I think. Let me check. He was born in December 94, and he made his debut 16, 17, roughly. He broke in on the scene. He then moved to Man City for the 15-16 season, and he was there until the season just gone. And in that time at Man City, he made 337 appearances, 24,937 minutes played, which is an average appearance time of 74 minutes flat. In that time, he scored 131 goals for City, 94 assists in 7 seasons. With so 131, he averages what, 19 goals a season, roughly. 140 would be 20 goals a season. So yeah, it's like 18 point summit goals a season. And about, I think it's 12 assists a season as well. 72, 8, 84, nearly 15 assists a season will be 105. So it's about 14, about 13 assists a season on average as well. 18 goals, 13 assists on average a season at Man City. He got 37 yellow cards, and one of those was a double yellow that turned into a red. So he, even then, over his whole career, his discipline's been quite good. He gets one yellow card every 10 games, roughly. He has a goal or assist every 110.83 minutes at Man City. Which is every game and a half, given the minutes he plays. When you compare that to 1 in every 3 nearly, compared to Liverpool, the improvement's there. Big time. Now, I know you've got to be careful because it's Man City. However, he also improved as a player. And then with his England stats, he made his debut in 2012. He has made 77 appearances for the England men's like senior team, scoring 19 goals and 25 assists in 5,663 minutes. He averages 73.55 minutes per appearance and one goal or assist every 128.7 minutes played, which again is better than 1 in 2 for England. The guy, especially playing for England as well, like when he's had, since who's he had, who have he had since 2012? We've had Capello, Roy Hodgson, who else do we have? Sam Allardyce for one game, and then Gareth Southgate. So we haven't played exactly under the best manager, or he hasn't he hasn't played, sorry, under, exactly under the best managers for England either. Nowhere near Pep, and his output for England's pretty good as well. Including being, in my opinion, the player of the tournament. When we, like in the Euros last year, when we went all the way to the final. I mean, you look at them numbers and they're impressive. When you compare it over his entire career, in his entire career, he has played 500. He's made 543 appearances, 173 goals, 144 assists, which is 317 goal contributions in 543 appearances. In his career, he has played 39,894 minutes, which is an average 73.47 minutes per appearance. And he gets a goal or an assist every 125.85 minutes, which again is better than one in every two appearances for him. If you want to go by 90 minutes, it's one goal or assist every game and a half, which it's not bad at all. It's brilliant, actually, given the fact that he's a winger. He's not even a striker. Like, them numbers are very impressive when you break it down, and it's not just the numbers as well. If he wasn't prepared to work his ass off, Pep wouldn't have had him. The fact that Pep got the best out of him indicates to me that he's very coachable. He's willing to listen. He's willing to learn. He's willing to get better. He is already, like, the photos are out there of him in a Chelsea shirt. He already, big smile on his face. He comes back to London to be with his family. I think it's going to be a solid move for him. I really do. I really, really do. I think he's going to thrive. And we're not stopping there with the attacking players. When Rafinha, when he went to Barcelona, literally within a few hours, we were already linked. We're already talking with Gnabry from Bayern Munich. And I think we were monitoring Rafael Leao as well from AC Milan, as we've already spoke to Jorge Mendes, his agent. We're moving mad in this transfer window. We really are. And this whole, as I said, this whole Sterling thing, I'm excited. Now, one thing I will point out, he wears the number 7. At Man City, or he used to wear the number 7 at Man City. He's not a Man City player anymore, he's our player. Will he be number 7? Will Kante give up the number 7? I'm not so sure. I think number 17 maybe would do him alright. I can't think of anyone who is number 17, because Kovacic used to have it. When Barkley went on loan to Villa a couple of seasons ago, Kovacic moved to the number 8. And then, what was it last season he moved to number 8? Anyway, and Saul Niguez was our number 17 last season. And obviously, he's gone back to Atletico Madrid. I think the number 17 will do him. I'm not sure what number he wore at Liverpool. I'm just excited to see him play. I hope he comes on, because we got a pre-season match on Sunday. Well, it's Saturday night, Sunday morning. Early hours in the UK anyway. It's because they're playing in America. Who have we got? I can't remember who we're playing, but yeah, we've got friendly, and hopefully he gets some minutes to see what he can do. Yeah, I mean it's a good signing. There's not really much more I can say. I'm just excited to see him get going. Now, is he the only signing that is coming? No. Now, this one, it hasn't... Well, it's been... The bid's been accepted. He's agreed personal terms. We're just... He's in London tonight to do his medical tomorrow, I think. Or tonight, I don't know. But the medical's being done within the next 24 hours anyway of recording this podcast. Kalidou Koulibaly. Fucking Koulibaly. Oh my days. The guy, for me, has been up there as one of the best defenders in the world for the last few years. Let alone just Serie A, in the world. He is class. He's quick. He's strong. He can defend. He can tackle. He can win headers. He's phenomenal. And we're getting him. Fabrizio Romano has already tweeted out, here we go. Honestly, it blows my mind. It really does. When you deep it, and when you think about it this way, we are signing Sterling and Koulibaly for the exact same amount of money that Manchester United paid for Harry Maguire alone. Koulibaly is costing us £33 million. Arsenal paid £50 million for Ben White last summer. This is how much of a bargain getting Koulibaly for £33 million is. He should be a £60-70 million defender. And the thing that's most impressive about it for me isn't even the fee. It's the speed. Two days ago, we were linked with De Ligt everywhere. Chelsea and De Ligt, Chelsea and De Ligt, Chelsea and De Ligt. All of a sudden, De Ligt's agreed personal terms with Bayern. We've gone, fuck it. We're going to get Koulibaly then. And literally, as I'm recording as well, I've just seen a tweet from Fabrizio Romano. Ian Martson is going to Burnley on a season-long loan. Again, not really fussed about that. But as I was saying about Koulibaly, like, the speed we've got this done... Todd Boehly ain't fucking around. And it's nice to see. If this was Marina and Roman and Cech, and don't get me wrong, I love them to bits for what they've done for Chelsea. But some of the transfer speeds that we used to do were borderline ridiculous at times. And yeah, the fact that we've got, we've seen that, oh, Barca might... not Barca. Bayern might swoop in and get De Ligt. Fuck it. Let's go and get Koulibaly before someone else swoops him up. And we've got it done. He's agreed. He's on his way. He's... again, according to Fabrizio Romano, who I trust big time. He's turned and said about... He's doing a medical... And then he's flying out to LA and all to join up with the team. And it's like, wow. When you truly think about it, it's mad. It really is mad. Like how quick we've got this deal done. And it doesn't even end there. We're in negotiations with Man City again for Nathan Ake. We're also talking with PSG now for Presnel Kimpembe. We're doing business all over the show. And on top of that, with, as I said, about we're looking at Gnabry and Leao. All that's left after we've, if we get all of them, it's already a 10 out of 10 window. If we then sit there and go and buy a Declan Rice as well, wow. Just wow. And the fact that it's not a, they're not club signings. Because, for example, last week we were heavily linked with Cristiano Ronaldo because he wants out the door at Man United. I can't blame him. And personally, I would take him at Chelsea. But big rumour was Thomas Tuchel doesn't really fancy him. So Todd Bowley's gone, all right then, cool. If you don't want him, we ain't getting him. He's gone to Tuchel, who do you want? Tuchel's gone, Koulibaly. And he's gone, Sterling. And we've got both. Every single player that's coming through the door this summer is well, from what's getting reported, they're all going to be Tuchel signings, and that is going to be the bottom line, because the fact that we have gone from, oh, here you go, deal with it, do what you got to do, to who do you want for your project? We're going to give you time and you're going to succeed. It's weird because we seem to have transformed overnight into the Man City model, where we're still buying players, but we're not, like, City, they do spend a lot of money, but they don't break the bank on every single transfer. For example, they signed Haaland for like 65, 70 million or whatever it was. They're not breaking the bank stupidly. They haven't, or they have now. Last season they've done £100 million signing, but before that, I think their record was De Bruyne at like 65 mil or whatever it was. So they piece together a squad, and it's not just a first 11. There's plenty of cover and there's plenty of backup, and I think that's the mould we're going for. Give Tuchel plenty of time to do what he needs to do with that squad, and then if it still backfires, then it's on Tuchel, ultimately. But if it doesn't, then we could sit there and be on the level with City and Liverpool. Like, it's mad. When you really, really think about it, it's mad. And I'm here for it. I'm going to love every single second of it. Because, yes, we've been winning trophies. We won the Champions League a couple of years, like the season before. We won the Super Cup and the Club World Cup last year. We made both domestic cup finals. But for the last 5 years, in the league, we've been a mile away. And that's what I want us to close the gap on. I want us to shut the door on the league, and I want us to go for the league. And the only way we do that is by doing and copying Man City. You give the manager the squad that he wants, with quality positions in every position and quality backups in every position, and then you go from there. And it's not as if Tuchel's a mug either. He can beat anyone on his day. He's a genius. He knows what he's doing. And so far at Chelsea, he's made six finals out of a possible seven. The only final he's missed is the Champions League the season just gone, where we lost to the eventual winners, Real Madrid. And even then, we could have very easily won that tie if, one, Lukaku could hit a barn door, and two, if, in the Bernabeu, when we were all over them for 75, 80 minutes, and then we crashed. It was like, we gave everything that night and we could have made it through. We'd done everything we needed to do. And yeah, I mean, when you think of it like that, where we could have gone through, 6 out of 7 finals without any player that he has chosen, without any form of site like transfer input whatsoever. When you think of that, and now you think of he's getting his players, makes you wonder just how scary we could actually be and how true them words could be that he spoke when he said he wants to make Chelsea the team that no one wants to play against. I believe that to be true. I believe this season, whether we're 4th, 3rd, 2nd or even top, everyone's going to look at us, even Man City and Liverpool, and go, oh shit, we're in for a game here. We're not going to be walkover whipping boys. Obviously, there's still going to be your freak results that happen. Like we had the West Brom 5-2, we had the Brentford 4-1. There's going to be freak results. It's not going to be perfect straight away. And we need to give Tuchel time to build his squad. But I think if you give him that time, there's nothing but success coming. And it's going to be, it's good, put it this way, it's promising times to be a Chelsea fan. And to all the people who sat there and thought that we, as soon as Roman was going to sell, that we were in the mud, or we were finished, we were going to fold, we're going to be in administration. Oh, look, Chelsea, they've had their 20 years. Yeah, get in the bin. You tried fucking with us once, and we won. We've got an owner who, granted, I'm going to give him more time, but on the surface of things, seems to be giving an actual shit about the club. Putting his money where his mouth is. And this is exactly why I had 100% faith in who Roman was picking. Because Roman chose Boehly to be the new owner. It's not a coincidence that he's like going through with what he said. And yeah, I think we're golden. We're golden. And as I said, to those who thought we were finished, if we back Tuchel, we could come back even stronger than we were under Roman Abramovich. And that's a scary thought for them, not for me. You know the meme where it's like, quick, call an ambulance, but not for me. It's like that right now, where I'm pretty sure every single Chelsea fan at the end of this window in particular would be like, yeah, come on in, let's have it. You ain't beating us. And if you do, you're going to have to put in a world-class performance. Because, yeah, the players we've got, them coming in, the mentality that was in the squad already, the mentality that's coming in with these players, they're all winners. Sterling is a winner. Koulibaly is a leader. And then you add the likes of Silva, Mendy. And then you go through the spine where you've got the Cobham boys as well. And I'm going to include Chilwell in that because he's ingratiated himself into that group big time. You got Chilwell, Reece James, Mount, Hudson-Odoi, Gallagher. Gallagher's going to come back and be hungry to succeed in this team. There's going to be so many players fighting for positions, which means they're going to be, when they come in, unless something is majorly wrong with them, they're going to be fighting for their place. So it means when they come in, they're going to perform. And that is very, very exciting indeed. But that, ladies and gentlemen, is going to be the end of the podcast. If you did enjoy it, please share it around. That means the absolute world to me. One thing I will say is, if you can hear like a a wind blowing, it's because I've got a desk fan blowing at me. It's ridiculously hot in the UK at the minute. There's just no, like, it's just so humid and hot. I am going to make a quick announcement. I am going to be starting up another different podcast. I'm not sure on the name yet. I'm thinking of calling it The Nerd Planet. And it's going to be a movie and TV show review podcast where I review the likes of, well, Game of Thrones, Marvel, Star Wars, Lord of the Rings, anything and everything, basically. So when that's up and running, I'll link it in my Twitter account, which is CookCO4, CookeC04, and follow me on there. As I said, share the podcast around if you did enjoy it, and I hope you stay safe, ladies and gentlemen, and until the next one, goodbye.